scratch that at the list. All right, Wednesday evening, 11:09:22. We rushed the last teaching, so we're going to do a part two of why must we intercede. Not everything, but some of it. I just felt like I rushed. And anyway, this is part two. We're going to recap just a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." All right, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." All right, second scripture, 2 Peter 3:8. Peter is talking here about the world that was, and he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." You know, it's kind of like this election. Only a moron would think that would have a different outcome. Really? Think about it. See what Peter's saying here, you know, people are ready for him to come, but it's going to play out just like the plan. He's coming in 6,000 years. Since we don't really know our true history, all we can go by is what the scripture says about the time, the exact timeline. We believe we're pretty close. So Peter's saying, day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. It's not hard to figure out. God created 6 days. He created, then he rested. All right. So he gave us dominion for 6,000 years. And as I said in part one, God gave the earth to us. This is Psalms 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Okay, I'm more convinced than ever that the rapture theory is of the devil. He wants us all longing for heaven instead of kicking him off our land. Just like the stolen election, he's stolen our land. Just think about that. Same old devil doing the same old thing. Isn't that called insanity? Doing the same old thing you've always done and you're hoping to get another result? That's insanity. If we didn't do anything about 2020, nothing's been done. Should we have expected a good outcome? Don't think so. All right, God in essence is the landlord and you are the renter. He gave you renter's rights. He will not step in and intervene unless asked to. Unless the earth leases run out. I remember Brother Copeland talking about that slender part of time between the end of the 6,000 years and the beginning of the millennial reign, where God could do whatever he wants because our lease is up. Isn't that what the end times is about? He's going to do what he's planned to do, period. All right? It is a mess down here, and we must have God's help to even live here. Right now, we have to have God's help just to live in this place. It's gotten so bad. All right, God is not upset at what he sees, for he is at rest. He's just waiting for somebody to ask him. If you've got something, you're renting a house and you got something that's messed up, who do you call? The landlord. All right, Genesis 2, 1 and 2. The Bible's pretty simple. It just takes a genius to mess it up, you know. All right, this is Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So he's resting. All right. And on the seventh day he rested. We're supposed to be in the seventh day. We should be resting, okay? How can God be resting when all hell is breaking loose down here? Faith is rest, that's why. God said it was so, and nothing will ever change that. When he created. Him and the Holy Spirit were in sync. Well, let's just look at that. All right, let's start with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Holy Spirit was waiting. Just like he's waiting on us. When we hear from him, we speak those words and we create. Just like God did. We're made in his likeness and image. Very, very simple. The Bible's really, 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 really simple. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake, see, God hadn't changed his mind. Even though the mess happened, he didn't change his mind about anything. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He never meant for us to have to go through what we're going through. That was never his intent. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So when we learn, as those of us that walk by the inner life, we're intercessors, inside out. See, when we learn to do this, we will quit struggling in our journey with all this outward stuff, because everything is from the inside out. I mentioned this Sunday. Everything God did because of what Jesus did, after what Jesus did, God moved out of everything physical. And that's why the book of Revelation, people don't understand, because it's a spiritual book. to be discerned by a man's spirit. But people discern it as a natural book, and everything in it has to be natural, or it's not accurate, and it can't be yet because it's not all natural. All right, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Because we operate like him, we rest like him. Just think about that. That's awesome. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. How do we labor? We are trying to slap on our flesh 24/7. Don't do that. See, that's the temptation. Get our flesh all involved in it. It don't work that way. That's why people get so squirrely about faith. Because they try to make a natural work out of it, and it's a spiritual force. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, most people that I know of, and the Christians I've known, they know absolutely nothing about how to operate by faith. Even listening to the faith teachers, most manage to muck it up. We're trying to work it in our flesh. We're trying to say this and do this and say we're just doing what Jesus did. But see, Jesus went up in the mountain to pray and heard from the Father. He didn't just go around just saying stuff because he was the Son of God. No. If you believe that, then you just might as well give up because you're never going to attain to anything. No, we've been made like him, conformed into his image, going from glory to glory, not hellhole to hellhole, but glory to glory, being transformed into his image. Danny had a word the other day, and the Lord was talking about a lot of your problems are just strongholds in your minds that you're going through. It's because you don't see the way clearly, God's way clearly, and your flesh and your mind get in the way. You know, the flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Getting back to that struggling so much, it has to do with the strongholds in your mind. That's why we have to be renewed with the Word of God, because these strongholds try to keep us from entering into his rest. He doesn't want us in turmoil and just striving and just dragging through life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But it comes from us thinking we got to put our hand to it. No, put your knees to it. You know, we were talking about there was a lady, I'm reading a book on intercession. This lady, they called her camel knees because her knees were so shot from the hours and hours and hours. She knelt on the floor on a mat to pray. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You think, well, Lord, what now? What am I missing it now? Thank God the Holy Ghost lets us know so we get better. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We know of his temptation in the wilderness. He was tempted to give in to Satan's temptations. Neither is there any creature that is... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm reading the wrong place. He was tempted just like we are. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our intercessor. He's praying for us. He wants us to get it. He wants us to enter into God's rest. Even being an intercessor, it's not something that we do that just wears ourselves out. This is something we ought to be prompted by the Spirit. We ought to have grace to be an intercessor. To hear this lady talk, she talks about the day that everybody's out of the house and she can pray all day is the best day she ever has. And that means the grace of God is on her to do it. It's not a duty or a struggle. It's absolutely a joy to do so. We are crying out for God's help, but He is saying, use what I have given you. It's all in here. He created and now He is resting. He created like we create like He created and we rest like He is resting. We need the battle plan, the strategy to do that. See, that's why we come before the Father and ask Him, what's your plan for this? What do you want us to do about this? Then He gives us the plan. All right. Looking at our wicked nation, the leaders, the deep state residents, how do we get them out? I don't think that's the right strategy. Even though we make our petitions that God will remove all the wicked and things like that. But really, I think this is the more truth of the matter. 1 Timothy 2. What we're instructed to do concerning leaders. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Remember when I talked to you about this Sunday? I said, are you unbiased? Are you to a place that you're non-judgmental, that you can pray if God instructs you to pray for a wicked leader? Are you going to pray, bind him, and send him to hell and all this stupid stuff that some people pray? This doesn't sound like it's to pray evil on somebody that's evil. It says supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks and made for all men. Right down here, I wrote, prayer means worship or an oratory. Intercessions are supplications. Thanks is gratitude. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, what's God's agenda that the world would be saved? He sent Jesus, love, sent His own begotten Son, and paid for their sins, paid for our sins, before we ever said, I'm sorry, Lord, or repented or came to Him. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This sounds like a reconciliation to me between these leaders and God. Just think, if we didn't have to, if the church was a good representation of Jesus in the earth, we wouldn't have to see them go to jail. We wouldn't have to see them go through what they're going to be going through. They'd see the love of God. They'd see God in us. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The same precept that God, He looked past. He sent Jesus as a sacrifice for all men's sins. It's that precept where he reigns on the unjust and the just alike. Because he's love. Love can't act any other way, can it? All right. Let me read that again. Supplication is a petition, like the petitions that the Lord gave us back in 2015 and moving forward. Prayers, like our worship, are an oratory. Intercessions are supplication. Thanks is gratitude. This is all out of the Strong's. There's a lot to be said about someone that does not trash their wicked leader. God respects that. He knows, just like you, that the evil behind the leader is actually Satan. And Satan is always to be our target and never, per se, the leader. So God can direct us what to do when we've got a pure, clean hands and a pure heart. Remember we talked about that? Our motives are pure. You know, when you get powerful, Brother Capps taught us this, when you get powerful, you're going to have to watch your words because you can destroy somebody. Or you can restore somebody. Yeah. Loose lips sink ships, right? Okay. We know that even Jesus had an active prayer life. He had to go up in the mountain to pray to make sure he stayed on the straight and narrow track. He had to go hear from the Father just like we have to about what he wanted him to do. He said he didn't act independently. He didn't just go do what he wanted to do. He waited and heard what the Lord wanted him to do. He got the strategy. He got the plan. Oh, man. If he had to, how much more do we have to? Most certainly. The Holy Spirit has been leading us for a while now about pulling aside and looking inside for the answers. This is all part of intercession. All right, we've looked at this scripture. When you get it, the Lord will quit having me bring it every, seem like nearly every week. Okay? You wonder why I bring it so much? It comes up. Hit them again. Path buzz the tower again. Okay, that's what we're doing. This is Romans 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've found the Lord having me say on different occasions, Lord, I pray the very best scenario for this person. The very best for this person. I don't know what that is. But he does. Especially if they're someone that's wicked. You know? Yes, I do repeat a lot of scriptures, but it's by divine design. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It takes a person of noble character to stand in the gap for another and not have their own agenda. Say, we are coming as intercessors. We have decided we are going to go to bat for another. We're going to spend our time, sacrifice our time, to pray for an individual. I tell you what, you get a few people knowing that you do that, you will not cease to have people to pray for. Okay? Sunday, I rushed through this, and I just felt like I needed to go into again about Joseph, and we're going to look at that. Because I kind of just, you know, gave you a few points and everything. So we're going to read the scriptures about Joseph tonight. We're going to start in Genesis 37. Joseph stood in the gap for his family, the nation of Israel. He had a problem, though. He was a proud little peacock. We already talked about that with a coat of many colors. God had to allow hard things into Joseph's life to prepare his vessel to contain God's glory, to stand in the gap for his nation. All right. Starting with chapter 35, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. I put here my Bible, and I don't know where I got the information, but it says leader or high priest. Isn't that what a high priest would do, would intercede, like Melchizedek? Yeah. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He had a lot of knowledge for a young person like that and having dreams, but not a lot of wisdom in using that. You know, we can get pretty arrogant in what we think we know and everything. And he dreamed yet another dream and told to his brothers and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. And, you know, anyone tries to rise to the top, they want to throw you in the pit. And Reuben heard it. He delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father. Now in the book of Jasher it says this pit was full of snakes, and that they put him in there and he screamed and cried for hours for mercy, and they wouldn't let him out. But it said God was with him just like he was in the jail, and it said the snakes ever got as far away from him as they could in the pit, everything. It came to pass when Joseph was come. See, God was with him in the pit. God was with him in Potiphar's house. God was with him in the jail. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it that if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. You know, also in the book of Jasher, it talks about he actually changed hands several times because bad stuff started happening to everybody that laid their hand against him. So they'd sell him to the next group. Poor guy. Thinking, wow, just think, leaving everything you know, your whole family, your nation, everything, and sold as a slave into Egypt. I just, like sex trafficking today, it's a wonder they didn't make him a eunuch. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. See, that pride's got to come under the blood, y'all. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, that this have we found, know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes, and put on sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down into the grave, and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer. That's three different ones. Ishmaelites, the Midianites, and now Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard. 38. It came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned. No, that's not right. Let's skip over 39. I don't know why they put that there. It's like it's out of order for me. All right, Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Do you see the pride? There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. This is the second coat of pride that Joseph was loosed from. Second trial, second stage. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, hath brought to an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up her garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. All right, 40. And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and took upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? He's getting somewhere. He's getting somewhere. Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. Her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring him out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have I done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon. Does it sound familiar when you're trying to get out of where God has placed you for this time of training? Guess what? He gets to stay 2 more years because of that. He finally got it that interpretations are from God, not I dreamed a dream and I this and that. I told you, intercessors are closed-mouthed people. They release a word when God leads them to release a word. You can't go talking and espouting what God gives you about people, and He will show you things. You have to be led when to release. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Here's another point. If you get something that's maybe not good news, And God says, give it to them. Would you? Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. I'm thinking, oh, I wouldn't want to tell somebody. That'd be difficult. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I've been where I am as so long, I'm thinking, Lord, is there ever anything ever going to happen? You can get to thinking that way. It's the way Joseph probably thought. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. You think, I can't go another day. So that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. One thing about it, you know, talking about having the right attitude towards leaders, if you notice, especially through the Old Testament, like David would not put his hand against Saul. He'd call him God's anointed. Well, we knew the anointing had departed from him, but God, he called him God's anointed. I will not touch God's anointed. Isn't all authority God placed? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He's ready to be used. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I have never saw in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, fat and good, or full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. And this is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. You notice here, he's quick to give God the glory. Well, the Lord has shown me this, and the Lord has shown me that. No, he said, God is showing Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and all famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. It wasn't just the nation of Israel he stood in the gap for, it was Egypt too. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Where did he get his training? Potiphar's house. Prison. He gave him his head, the whole prison. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride on the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. There's his dreams coming to pass. Well, eventually his brothers do that too. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Israel. I wished I was 30 years old after going through all we've been through. I'm thinking, to be a young person and to live in this day. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up all the food in the cities, the food of the field, which round about every city laid he up in the same. See, all these things he did, he learned. He learned how to manage. He learned how to do what God was preparing him in those hard places, stripping him of his pride, thinking that he was something or somebody, and God showing him, it's me in you doing it. But God trained him in these hard places to stand where he stood. And in the book of Jasher, really, he was Pharaoh. I mean, he was Pharaoh. In fact, when Pharaoh died, Pharaoh's son was instructed by Joseph. It was left in Pharaoh's will for him to do so. That's how God trained him with such wisdom. He wanted his son to be a wise leader, so he tutored him. Quite a legacy. And of course, we know what happened. All his family. That's what became the nation of Israel. All right. One scripture. He went from pride to proven. Stripped of his pride. Proven. And the Lord said, you're ready to go. Now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. All right, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. All right, gonna do it. I got a little bit of intel.